Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets that I used to own. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing, now the old king is dead, long live the king. 1 minute I held the key, next the walls were closed on me, and I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand. I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing. Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword and shield, my missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain, once you go there was never, never an honest word. And that was when I ruled the world. Coldplay, Viva La Vida. I listened to this song earlier today, and I thought, what a great song, very reflective. It's the kind of song that makes you think. When I heard the song, I thought about the time I was a young Marine first lieutenant and then a young captain. And I ruled the world. I had at my disposal one afternoon a full arsenal. I had helicopters, combat helicopters. I had tanks. I had a full brigade of Marines at my disposal. I had air power. I had it all. Every modern weapon known to man I had at my disposal. Standing next to me was a young corporal. All that was required to unleash all holy hell was for him to hand the receiver to me and for me to give the proper coordinates and the word. And yeah, the word was given. I was king. I ruled the world, a professional combat Marine, a warrior. That's what I thought at first when I heard the song. I used to rule the world. And then I thought about our current political situation. Our current commander-in-chief. Someday soon, maybe just a year from now, perhaps he'll hear this song and he'll think about how he used to rule the world. Seas would rise when he gave the word, and now in the morning he sleeps alone, sweeps the streets that he used to own, because it was just a year ago, a year and a half maybe, when Barack Hussein Obama, our president, was being compared to the Messiah. He was being compared to God Almighty. He was being compared to lesser figures, Franklin Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln. From Lincoln to Obama, CNN headlined one of its stories during the early days of euphoria over the new president. Obama encouraged the comparison, of course, tossing out such modest asides as Lincoln made my story possible. For others, Obama loomed even larger than Lincoln. He was a light worker, as the San Francisco Chronicle columnist Mark Morford put it in 2008, that rare kind of attuned being, I'm quoting, who has the ability to lead us not merely to new foreign policies, or healthcare plans, or whatnot, but who can actually help usher in a new way of being on the planet, of relating and connecting and engaging with this bizarre earthly experiment. End quote. But now that the light worker has fallen to earth and the glorious new way of being on the planet turns out to be, well, a lower credit rating. Folks in the streets of New York sleeping, chilling, protesting the rich, a divided nation, clearly divided among party lines, ethnic lines, socioeconomic, you name it. Now the light worker has fallen to earth, and the glorious new way of being on this planet turns out to be just a mess. Some of his prominent supporters have fallen silent or resentful. Heady Lincoln comparisons have given way to Carter comparisons. Another quote, we're watching him turn into Jimmy Carter right before our eyes. An anonymous Democrat senator said to the New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd, to the Richard Cohens of the press, he's no longer cool but cold. It is now safe for them to say that he lacks any special gift for leadership. Washington Post columnist Dana Milbark acidly observed about his speeches. He delivers his statements on the economy beneath a portrait of Abraham Lincoln, but that was as close as he came to forceful leadership, some say. Yeah. I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets that I used to own. While many decry the obstructionism of the Tea Party and the Republican Congress, they also condemn Obama for not displaying obstructionism of his own. The issue of his inexperience has once again resurfaced. At the very moment when we lost a group of our honored SEALs from SEAL Team 6, Obama thought concerns about these matters were, well, they were simply inconvenient. And worse, a turbulent stock market, high unemployment, they've added to his troubles. The inability for him to get his message across because now no one's listening, or very few are. Even the Wall Street protesters are blaming President Obama, who gave his tacit wink and a nod just a few days ago. Many signs are displaying Obama as being in the pocket of many of these rich Wall Street entities, these so-called fat cats. His protestations that the U.S. always will be a AAA country was hardly reassuring once we were downgraded. A line that he remembered, that will be remembered only for its feebleness. He has managed to make America sound like a minor league team. Obama considered the credit downgrade a consequence not of the debt itself, but of the debate about the debt. Yet the Treasury Department, well, they discovered a $2 trillion error in the math of Standard & Poor's. Well, you know the rest. Viva La Vida. Coldplay. I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. All right, we're back. Technicalities, promo didn't play. Usually happens when things are supposed to be going smooth. All right, so the Messiah has fallen to earth. It's a sad state of affairs. The light worker falls to earth. He was feted by many as the Messiah. Just a few quotes. Barack Obama. The Messiah. Barack Hussein Obama. The audacity of hope. Hope and change. Obama, be thy name. The President of the United States. Barack was feted by many as the Messiah. His supporters compared him to Jesus. He even equated himself to Superman, saying at a dinner that he had been born on Krypton and sent here to save the planet Earth. The remark was presented as a joke, but the effect of Obama's ego is no laughing matter. Now, just over 2.5 years into his term, his legislative agenda lies in ruins. Despite poll after poll showing America's main priority is jobs, the president has focused on taking over the healthcare system and a variety of companies, corporations. Observing the wreckage that our president has wrought, noted political pundit Charlie Cook candidly told Politico, "I think choosing to take a Captain Ahab-like approach to healthcare, I'm going to push for this even in the worst downturn since the Great Depression. It's roughly comparable to Bush's decision to go to war in Iraq. It basically destroyed the first year of a presidency, and I couldn't agree more. We have a president who seeks to divide the nation on purpose. When did this all happen? He was the Messiah. He was, well, he was the man. Now, finally, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Good morning, January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president.
8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Barack Obama promised us a better economy, but he gave us bigger government, higher taxes, and skyrocketing debt. 2.5 million jobs lost, largest deficit in history, $14.3 trillion national debt. The picture is clear.
Nobody's looking to raise taxes right now. We're talking about potentially 2013.
We can't afford 4 more years of Barack Obama. Help America change direction. The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Why is Ayn Rand's great novel Atlas Shrugged a bestseller today, more than half a century after it was written? It's because our real world today is just like the fictional future that Rand foresaw in Atlas Shrugged. It's a time of crisis and decay, but it's also a world of innovation and achievement. It's a world of heroes and villains, driven by very different philosophies. We wrote I Am John Galt to tell their stories. We look at the heroic innovators who are building our world and show that they're doing it just like the heroes of Ayn Rand's novels. They're using her philosophy of capitalism, reason, objective reality, and self-interest. Who is John Galt? Meet John Allison, the mild-mannered Southerner who created one of America's greatest banking empires. He did it with Ayn Rand's philosophy by getting every one of his tens of thousands of employees to read Atlas Shrugged and live by its code. In the great financial crisis of 2008, his bank was about the only one that didn't need a government bailout. But the government forced Allison to take TARP money anyway. After that, Allison walked away, just like John Galt did. There's so many other Rand heroes in our midst. There's Bill Gates, the genius who built the world's greatest company and the world's greatest personal fortune, only to have his own government call him a criminal for succeeding too much. Isn't he just like Hank Reardon from Atlas Shrugged? And how about Steve Jobs, the brilliant entrepreneur who reinvented computers, movies, music, telephones, just because he thought it was so cool? He's got the same attitude toward life as Howard Roark from Rand's other great novel, The Fountainhead. Build it, and I don't care if they come. You'll meet some real-life Rand villains in our book, too, the parasites who are trying to destroy the world. Remember Wesley Mooch from Atlas Shrugged, the corrupt bureaucrat who destroyed the economy? That's Congressman Barney Frank, who spent years subsidizing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the name of altruism. When Fannie and Freddie nearly wrecked the U.S. housing market, what did Frank do? Just like Mooch, he demanded wider powers. And you'll meet Paul Krugman, the rabid partisan pundit who spread socialism from the pages of the New York Times and thinks nothing of using the power of the press to destroy his political enemies. He's Ellsworth Tuohy, the scheming, dwarfish newspaper columnist straight from the pages of The Fountainhead. These are some of the heroes and villains who move our world. So who is John Galt? I am. You can be too. Read our book and find out how.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. urges extra constitutional action in job crisis. Perhaps you've heard this story. Well, the fact that the idiot Jesse Jackson Jr. likens GOP opposition to Obama's job bill with Southern Rebellion in 1860, recommends the congressman for an early commitment to an insane asylum, or worse. But how creepy is this closet authoritarian when he recommends the suspension of constitutional liberties in an economic crisis? Now, folks, how many times has Obama thrown the card out there? How many times has he thrown it out there? Well, I wish I could bypass Congress. Oh, I'd like nothing more to bypass Congress and just do it my way. Oh, those fat cat bankers, those corporate jet owners. He threw out the corporate jet owners. He threw out the card with the corporate jet owners, the fat cat bankers, the millionaires and billionaires. And what do we get? We got protesters on Wall Street. Filthy, dirty, scandalous, scurrilous protesters defecating on police cars, piling up trash, making a mess. That was phase one, I suppose. Phase two was when Obama was throwing out how much he'd like to bypass Congress. Over the course of the last year and a half, the president has thrown the card out there, subliminally suggesting that at some point he will bypass Congress and do his own thing. He tested the waters many times, dipped his toe in by saying, jokingly, ha-ha, I'd like to bypass Congress and get things done. I'd like nothing more to bypass Congress and do my own thing, but we don't live in that kind of country. We have rules. We have law. He was throwing it out there. I'm no fool. Neither are you. I'm from Chicago. The Chicago way is to throw it out there and see if it'll stick. We have a saying in Chicago. Perhaps you've heard of it. When you don't say something, but you say it, it's simply called, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. That's it. If I'm saying something to you that I don't really want, that's off the record, but it's true, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. That's the Chicago way. That's the Chicago speak for you right there, my hometown. So when Obama was saying he'd like to throw out the Constitution, or rather go around the Constitution, or rather go around Congress or bypass Congress, he was saying, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Only those of us who were raised in Chicago really understand that Obama was not saying, he was just saying. And now Jesse Jackson Jr., who is also from Chicago, has just come out and said it. And here it is. Representative Illinois, Chicago, First Ward Representative, Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. told the Daily Caller on Wednesday that congressional opposition to the American Jobs Act is akin to the Confederate States in rebellion. Now, this guy's a clown and a moron, and I have known of him back home in Chicago since his father shook down Anheuser-Busch, and then all of a sudden his son, Jesse Jackson Jr., was rewarded with a really fine, lucrative distributorship in Chicago because Jesse Jackson Sr. told Anheuser-Busch that if they didn't contribute something to Operation Push, that they would be boycotted and labeled as racist. So instead of incurring all the bad publicity, Bush gave a ton of money to Operation Push, Jesse Jackson's organization, and loaded them down with distributorships in the Chicago area worth hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. But I'm not saying, I'm just saying. So this is the same Jesse Jackson who said that opposition to the American Jobs Act is akin to the Confederate States' rebellion. And what's worse, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Jackson called for full government employment. He called for full government employment of the 15 million unemployed. Does that make any sense to you? Just employ everybody who's unemployed, work them for the, and give them jobs with the government. And said that Obama should declare a national emergency and take extra constitutional action administratively without the approval of Congress to tackle unemployment. Now, those of you who've listened to my show for the past year know that I have spoken about this day coming, that there would come a time when something like this would be put out there. I'm not the only one. I'm not going to take credit for it. Many people have said, many blog talk radio hosts have said that this was in the offing. Jesse Jackson has gone and taken a step further from the "I'm not saying, I'm just saying." He said it. And didn't Obama, worse, he got his cue from President Obama, who said that he was going to find a way to implement many of the plans in the American Jobs Bill without Congress's approval by going around Congress to get his plans put in effect. He wanted his minions to find ways to get around Congress to get his Jobs Act in play. And Jesse Jackson took the basketball and ran down full court. Worse, he says, "I hope the president continues to exercise extraordinary constitutional means based on the history of Congress that have been in rebellion in the past." Jackson said he's looking administratively for ways to advance causes of the American people because this Congress is completely dysfunctional. All right. What Jesse Jackson is proposing, if, let's just say hypothetically, the President of the United States openly circumvented Congress, rebelled against Congress, pretty much disregarding the Constitution. What do you think should happen? What do you think the American people's response should be? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. What do you think would happen if the president openly defied Congress, openly rebelled against the Constitution itself? Basically, what would occur would be the overthrow of the government by a sitting president. Yeah, I said it. And I'm not saying, I'm saying. I'm not just saying, I'm saying. If what Jesse Jackson Jr. proposes were to come to fruition in any form at all, in my mind, would constitute an overthrow of the government by our president, by this administration. And so it begins. Things that we've talked about for the past year on Blog Talk Radio. Many of us, many of the hosts here have talked about it. Tesla's talked about it. Southern Sense has talked about it. Diane has talked about it on Freedom Wings. 2020, he may have talked about it. I don't know. Many of you guys have spoken about this. Beach Bum, you've probably heard it in many other blog talk shows. Now, finally, the President of the United States has come out with it. And Jesse Jackson Jr. has taken the ball and run. Oh, President Obama tends to idolize or idealize, and rightfully so, Abraham Lincoln, who looked at states in rebellion, and he made a judgment that the government of the United States, while the states are in rebellion, still had an obligation to function. Jackson told the D.C. caller, the Daily Caller, at his Capitol Hill office on Wednesday. So basically, Jesse Jackson Jr. is calling for open rebellion against the United States government, against the people of the United States, against the Constitution. Furthermore, and I quote, on several occasions now, we've seen the Congress is in rebellion, determined, as Abraham Lincoln said, to wreck or ruin at all costs. I believe in the direct hiring of 15 million unemployed Americans at 40,000 a head, some more than 40,000, some less than 40,000. That's $600 billion stimulus. It could be a five-year program for another $104 billion. We bail out all of the states for another $100 billion. We bail out all of the cities, he said. We bail out all of these people. We give free employment to 15 million people. Where does that money come from? The rich? The wealthy? Do we put ourselves in further debt? I doubt that this moron, and that's what he is, ever cracked a history book in his life. Jesse Jackson Jr., you are an idiot. And if I see you on the streets of Chicago, you better have some security with you. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Have some security, a lot of it. Because you and I, we're going to have a nice little chat, Chicago style. There's a difference between Congress being dysfunctional and in rebellion. And of course, a congressional rebellion is not a revolution against the United States or its government, idiot, but rather a president usually of the same party as the congressional majority. Jesse Jackson Jr.'s idea about the government hiring 15 million people doing what he doesn't say echoes the idiocy of the Occupy Wall Street protesters. And can you imagine the stampede if the government were hiring at $40,000 a head? Most of those less than that would quit their jobs to get a piece of that action. Also, the congressman might want to note that we sent $180 billion to states in 2009, and many of them are worse off today than they were back then. Where do Americans get these clowns who serve in Congress? Well, I tell you, the South Side of Chicago, the very same congressional district where Barack Hussein Obama lived, over near Hyde Park. You got a piece of Hyde Park, and then you've got the whole of the Chicago ghetto. And they voted for Jesse Jackson Jr. Right over there where Operation Push is, right off of King Drive, Martin Luther King Drive. That's his district. Ghettofied out. And they sent a ghetto moron to Congress to propose this insanity. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush, then Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question Atlas Shrugged that the rest of us were asking 60 years later. Which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis? And which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless? And which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
you decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value, but you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion.
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Southern Sense is in the house. Glad she's here. I'll tell you what. Jesse Jackson Jr. went too far. He went too far. Barack Hussein Obama has gone too far. When a president openly rebels against Congress and the Constitution and openly states that he is looking for ways to get around Congress to get what he wants done, suggests that he has no respect for our political system as it stands. It also suggests that our president is a danger to this great nation. He is a danger to the Constitution, and impeachment proceedings should begin. This president has emboldened the likes of Jesse Jackson Jr. and others to seek outright Marxism. No, not just socialism. I consider them to be a three-tier system. Socialism, Marxism, communism. Socialism being the least, Marxism being worse, socialism being worse than that. So now, Jesse Jackson has gone from socialism straight to communism. I'll go ahead and reiterate, because it bears repeating, really it does. Quote, on several occasions now, we've seen the Congress is in rebellion, determined, as Abraham Lincoln said, to wreck or ruin at all cost. I believe in the direct hiring of 15 million unemployed Americans at 40,000 a head. Some more than 40,000, some less than 40,000. That's $600 billion stimulus. It could be a five-year program. For another $104 billion, we bail out all the states. For another $100 billion, we bail out all the cities. Where do we go from here? How can I top that? I've got 15 minutes left, and there's no way I can top this. After reading the article, I just wanted to sit down and weep. Weep for the country that I once knew. It's almost like half the people who live here have gone insane and are running headlong at full speed to jump off a cliff. It's interesting that the apple does not fall far from the tree. Also note that this moron, Jesse Jackson Jr., who I will have words with, is following the lead of his president. President Obama has stated time and time again that he is not a socialist. No, Mr. Jackson. Congress is not in rebellion. The people are. That's what 2010 was all about. If either you or your moronic father had ever been off your arrogant privileged behinds to create real private sector jobs instead of shaking down corporations for the last 30 years or more, and had to actually get out and work for a living instead of taking and looting from corporations, Jesse Jackson Sr. has not had a job since the early 60s. He has not worked a day in his life, as far as I'm concerned. That time where he said that he worked as a short order cook in a white restaurant, and that the fact that he hated white people so much that he used to spit in their food, that doesn't count. Neither you, Mr. Jr., or your dumbass father have ever actually had real jobs before. Yet you seek to employ 15 million people at 40,000 a head for 5 years. What an idiot. I know 2020 would be in that line trying to get himself a free job. Evil clown, you too. I know you from Chicago. You used to sell hot dogs at the Comiskey Park. And you stole my catch name, Evil Clown. You know I can't stand clowns. You know I've got clown phobia. So now you come into my chat room with the name Evil Clown to mock me. You'll be in line for that job too. Hell, I don't actually have a job anymore. So I'm retired. I'll be in that line as well. No, I will not. Jesse Jackson Jr., Jesse Jackson Jr. is a moron, just like his dad. But here's the danger. Some are going to laugh this off as being, what an idiot. But this guy's serious. He's serious, folks. He wants President Obama. He's already suggested that President Obama is exercising extraordinary constitutional means. I take you back to the earlier quote, and I quote, "I hope the president continues to exercise extraordinary constitutional means based on the history of Congress that have been in rebellion in the past." Rebellion of whom? Who has Congress been in rebellion of? The president? The president is not a king. I would submit that if Jesse Jackson continues on with this kind of talk, that he'll see real rebellion. You know, I'm not threatening anybody, but I'm telling you, if you want to see rebellion, Mr. Jackson, you little punk, try to disregard the Constitution. Let your good buddy, Barack Hussein Obama, go about the business of circumventing Congress. Because there's some crazy folks out there. This kind of thing is dangerous. It's dangerous. You will say that Jesse Jackson Jr. is an idiot and a moron and chuckle and then go about your business and go bowling. But that idiot is deadly serious. We have a call on the line on the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Caller, you're on.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. I just want to make it be known that I'm neither Republican, more conservative, nor liberal.
All right.
I'm a strict independent. Can you hear
mm-hmm.
me?
Yeah.
No, okay. And, my commentary to this is basically that Barack Obama, with the given candidates that we have now running for the GOP, I truly believe, I'm not one of these crazy supporters of Ron Paul, but I truly believe so far, the only one that can somewhat at least beat him so far is Ron Paul. It's between Ron Paul and I would say Herman Cain.
Here's the thing.
Because the rest of them with Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, Huntsman, and Bachman, a lot of these, and I would say Santorum too, a lot of them, their ideology promotes the old, the status quo. It's nothing new.
You know, there was a time, not so far in the past, that I would have agreed with you that it would be very difficult to beat Barack Obama, that his reelection was a foregone conclusion. Now I think he's done. He's done. And it's not going to be about the GOP and who they put up there. You could put my dog, Ron, next to Barack Obama, and my dog would win. I'm convinced of that. Barack Obama has basically not performed so poorly as president that there's no way he's going to be reelected again. And all this talk about circumventing Congress is not going to help him with moderates, middle of the road folks, and independents. When you start talking about, when you start speaking as a president about circumventing Congress, going around Congress, openly discussing with your cabinet, with your circle, to try to find ways to get around Congress so that you can get things done for the American people, with a wink and a nod, you're done. I mean, what do you think about that? Would you reelect a man who is openly seeking to circumvent the Constitution of the United States? Because when the president talks about going around Congress, he's talking about going around the Constitution. Would you not agree?
Yeah, that sets precedents for dictatorial powers, and we all know the Constitution. Well, according to the Constitution, with the executive order, the president is really not the president is not supposed to create legislation. The president only controls our borders and our military. And, with Obama issuing the super Congress and the whole nine, they were calling Bush a dictator, but it seems as though Barack Obama is 10 times, if not worse, than Bush.
And if you're an independent, as you say you are, and you believe that to be true, there are probably a lot more like you who are also independent who believe that this president is overstepping the constitutional bounds. And
going into Libya, that alone there is a violation of the War Powers Act, because there was no need to go there and to intervene within another, I would say, another nation's problems.
Well, that and I couldn't agree more. The Responsibility to Protect Act that the president was operating under is a sham. That we are picking what country we want to defend or assist,
mm-hmm.
based on an arcane criteria.
Because let me ask you something. Do you have a general understanding of geopolitics, right?
I do.
Can you not consider Bahrain and Saudi Arabia to be twice as worse as Libya in terms of human violations?
Yes, I would agree with that. But they're also human rights violations, by our own standards.
Right.
And I also think that we shouldn't apply our standards to the rest of the world and how they do business. Just as we don't want them getting into our business telling us how to live our lives, which is why we don't want Sharia law here. You know,
if they
believe Sharia law, Libya and other countries believe that that's the law of the land there, then so be it. It's not our place to attempt to change that or even speak to it.
Right.
Just as they shouldn't attempt to apply Sharia law here in this country. But I do agree with you. But let me ask you this. What do you think of Jesse Jackson's proposal to employ 15 million people with the federal government at $40,000 a head?
Wow. Are you serious? I think it's a, wow.
No. Go to the Daily Caller. The Daily Caller.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been interviewed just today, or I think it was yesterday, and his idea is to circumvent Congress for the president to enact dictatorial powers and go around Congress in order to get people employed and to employ 15 million people at $40,000 a head, some more, some a little less. Thank you, Southern.
Oh, wow. There's really nothing to say other than the fact that, you know, that's despicable. And you said this is Jesse Jackson doing this?
No, Jesse Jackson Jr.
Oh, Jesse Jackson Jr.
Yes.
Wow.
The Daily Caller.
To me, he holds no credibility, to be honest with you, because he tried to make this whole Rick Perry niggerhead thing into a huge issue, and he brought that to Congress, and I just thought that was just an absolute waste. You know, there's more important, far more important issues to be discussing versus, you know, what he named his hunting log. So to me, he holds no credibility anyways.
No,
I just think that's ridiculous when he's trying to propose or pull.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But the action here is that he is pretty much following the lead of our president, who said that he is looking, who said just 2 days ago that he is looking to find ways to get around Congress to deal with the unemployment situation. President Obama said that just a couple of days ago. So now that you have that going down, Jesse Jackson is following up with his idea, this constitutional crisis, that the president should declare a constitutional crisis.
Right. Basically, they don't need congressional approval at all.
Exactly. Or disregard Congress altogether. Hey, we have just a minute and 49 left. I'd like to thank you so much for calling in. Please come back tomorrow because we'll be back on this subject again. There's no doubt. We can't leave it just like this. We got to talk about it some more tomorrow. Thank you so much for the call.
No problem. You have a good one. I just wanted to state, as an independent, it looks like I've talked to many other independents. It looks like Barack Obama is losing our vote. So he definitely lost mine. So I don't think I'll be voting for him again. So I just wanted to say, keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good night. God bless you, and God bless America. Hey, thank everybody for calling in. I do appreciate everybody for being here. Southern Sand, Beach Bomb, Alexander Solo, 2020, Evil Clown, Blog Talk King. I don't know who you are, but that's a cool name. John Galt, Marine Times, Net King, Republican Marine, Southern Sense, Easy, and the Binary Prince. Good night, folks. God bless you, and God bless America. I hope some of my other Blog Talk hosts jump on this Jesse Jackson bizarre statement. I used to rule the world. Oh, yeah. Good night, folks, and God bless you. I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice. Feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king is dead. Long live the king. 1 minute I held the key, next the walls were closing in on me, and I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand. I remember Jerusalem bells were ringing, Roman cavalry choirs were singing. Be my mirror, my sword, my shield. My missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain, once you go there was never, never an honest word. And that was when I ruled the world. It was the wicked and wild wind blew down the doors to let me in. Shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolutionaries wait for my head on a silver plate. Just as a puppet on a long, lonely string. Oh, who would ever wait or want to be king? I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing. Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword, my shield, my missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I cannot explain, I know St. Peter won't call my name. Never an honest word. But that was when I ruled the world. I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing. Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword, my shield, my missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain, I know St. Peter won't call my name. Never, never an honest word. But that was when I ruled the world. C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Good night, folks.